Welcome to the James River Church podcast. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Today we are so privileged to continue what has been an amazing weekend by having Julia Abel here today to bring the word. And so Julia and her husband, Joel, they are the lead pastors over the Hillsong Australia network of churches. That means they oversee 59 weekend services in Australia, which is, that's incredible. And they've been married for 21 years. They have two children, Harmony and Eli, 16 and 14. And it's such a privilege to have Julia not only speak at the conference, but here to bring the word at West Campus this morning. Would you join me in welcoming Julia Bell to bring the word to us this morning?
Thank you. Thanks, David. Bless you. Bless. Wow. Good morning. How are you? They never told me that James River people were so good looking. Well, I did notice that from the conference, that the girls were good looking, but I tell you what, can I let you in on a little secret? I like it when the men are with us as well. I think it just sounds better. Like, worship is awesome with the women, but it tends to get a little bit just up there. But when the men are here, it kind of just blends it all out really nicely. Who can say amen to that? Yes. We're better together, right? It's such a privilege to be with you all. And I love your pastors. Do you love your pastors? Actually, all your team are incredible people. And I think it's only fitting if we thanked all the volunteers for serving at the conference. So thank you. If you were one of the many people who served all the 8,500 delegates or something like that of Design for Life conference, you know, the conference couldn't happen without a church like James River behind everything that happened. So I just want to say from the perspective that I've come from the outside to be one of you this weekend, thank you so much, because we are definitely better together. And I just also want to welcome anyone who may be here for the very first time. Maybe coming to church is not something that you normally do. And, you know, even being here this morning and walking into all this singing with people doing this is a little strange. Can I just encourage you just to relax in the next few moments? What I'm about to do is to open the Word of God. And I believe the Word of God was not just for the olden day times, but the Word of God is for us today. And I've got some good news for everybody today, and that is that God loves you. God loves you, and He's for you, and He's got an incredible plan and purpose for you. So whether you're a regular or this is your first time here at church today, can we all relax? Can you relax? Can you understand my accent? I'm trying not to sound so Australian. Do I sound Australian? No, I just sound like a kind of just not quite right American. Is that right? Not quite right. Anyway, I'm here. I'm from Sydney, Australia, and it's just a great, great privilege for me to be here today. But before I begin to open the word today, could we pray together and ask the Holy Spirit to have His way in our lives? So Holy Spirit, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for being with us today. God, I thank you that your word tells us that you will never leave us nor forsake us. I thank you, God, that your word also tells us that you loved us so much that you sent your son Jesus for us. And so, Jesus, we want you to reveal yourself through your word today. I pray that. I pray that you would reveal yourself through your word today. And I thank you that your word brings life and hope and health to our very being. And I pray that for everybody who can hear my voice today. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you would help me. Help me bring the word of God today in Jesus' name. Can you say in Jesus' name? Jesus. Ah, what a beautiful name that is. You know that that is the most beautiful name in all the earth. It's the name of Jesus. Turn to someone today and say, the name of Jesus is really cool. It is very cool. I love this church. In fact, this church is a lot like my church, Hillsong Church, back in Australia. I love the enthusiasm. I love it. 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning. You come into church and there's people jumping. They're not jumping because they've had too much pizza the night before. They're jumping because they love Jesus and they love to worship him. So your church is kind of like my church at home, but your church and my church that I am a part of back home is not like the church that I grew up in. I am blessed that I've grown up in the church, but the church that I grew up in, let's just say we didn't sing songs with a band like this. Pretty much the only instruments that we sang songs to the Lord to were maybe an organ, and maybe on the odd occasion when we were really stepping out, it was the organ and the piano. And we used to have these beautiful hymn books, a blue hymn book that we would open, and we would sing some of the most beautiful songs. You know, I think some of those songs are still some of the most beautiful songs that have ever been written, like Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. So, you know, even though the style of service is very different, I'm so grateful for the church that I grew up in. I am so grateful. There's a few things that I learned from the church that I grew up in. I learned the power of turning up to church every week to worship the Lord. So I learned to get into the habit of coming to church. You know, these days, I guess around the United States, not everybody is in the habit of coming to church like what you guys are on a Sunday morning. Well, I praise God for the traditional kind of church that I grew up in because it taught me the power of turning up to church every week. It also taught me the power of a word called fellowship. Do you know that word, fellowship? If you've been around church for any length of time, you know that fellowship is just people hanging out together, hanging out with the common purpose of worshiping Jesus. And I learned the power of fellowship. In fact, when I went to church and as a little girl, I used to love that part when the church service was over and that we all got to hang out after the service. That actually was my favorite part of church. And church went for 1 hour. Everyone say 1 hour. And can I be really honest with you today? Is it okay if I'm really honest? I used to think church was boring as a kid. So sorry if that offends anyone today, but as a kid, I honestly thought church was really boring. And I used to sit there, I used to take my father's watch off his hand, and I used to sit there, it was a digital watch, and I used to count down 1 hour. And I used to do like a mental tick off in my mind when the different parts of the service would bypass. So I would do a mental tick, okay, sung hymn number one. We used to sing four hymns in a service, but not like four songs like we sung at the beginning of the service. It was kind of spread throughout the service. So I knew once we'd sung the third song, we were about to have the sermon. And I knew at the end of the sermon, we would then sing the fourth song. And as it approached 60 minutes, I'd be watching this digital watch and I'd be like, yes, we're getting to the benediction. Because the benediction meant church was over. And it was funny because the speaker or the minister, he would stand at the end of the service and his voice would change. It went from normal to this kind of very proper voice that he had at the end of the service as he would pronounce the benediction over us. And the benediction went something like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And then all at once, everybody just knew to sing this threefold amen. Amen, amen, amen. Something like that. And at the last amen, I was like, yes, I'm out of here. Well, interestingly enough, just a couple of months ago, I was at our city campus, which is our Sydney City downtown campus. And as David mentioned, we actually have 59 services across the weekend at Hillsong Australia. And this was the last of 59 services. Who knows, by the last of 59 services, you love Jesus, you love the church, but you are ready for Monday. Who thinks I'm always ready for Monday? By the way, I don't go to all 59 services, but I do go to a lot of services on the weekend. And I had the incredible opportunity to stand up like what I am before you, but to close the service. And as I closed the service, I found myself, interestingly enough, praying that same prayer of benediction as I blessed the people as they left. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And as I prayed those words over our congregation to bless them as they left, I actually felt like there was an impartation. And I felt like as I was telling people they could go, I wasn't just telling them they could go with a nice, predictable prayer. I was actually sending them away with the blessing of God. You see, at that moment, I felt like I was blessing the people as though God was blessing the people. And so I went on this journey to study this whole concept of blessing. And so today I want to talk to us not about me just being a blessing carrier, but I want to talk to you about you being a blessing carrier for God. Who knows here today, give me a little wave, that you are meant to be a blessing to other people and that you're meant to carry the blessing of God. Did you know that? Okay, you're very quiet here today. I'm not used to this. In Australia, they yell back at me. I have to tell them to be quiet. In fact, you should tap someone and say, you are meant to be a blessing carrier. I figure it's like this. Freely we have received, freely we should give. Freely. God freely gives us his blessing. We don't have to beg for it. Oh God, please, please give me your blessing. God wants to pour out his blessing upon us. And there's certain things that trigger that blessing. I mean, the tithe, we participated this morning in the tithe. And the Bible says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, that as you bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there would be food enough in the house of God, that he would do what? What does God do when we bring the tithe into the storehouse? He doesn't hold blessing back from us, no. It says he opens the windows of heaven. Wow, get a visual. He opens the windows of heaven and pours out such a ginormous blessing that you can't contain it. Man, I get a visual. When I read the Word of God, I don't kind of just go, oh, that's nice. But I actually picture what God wants to do in my life. And when God talks about blessing us, he talks about opening the windows of heaven. I reckon the windows of heaven would be really big. Anyone else reckon they'd be really big? Well, I'm kind of showing you, I'm still opening it. My windows at home, even the biggest windows, is like, you know, maybe that big, but not like I'm still opening the windows of heaven. And he wants to pour out a blessing to us. That we can't contain. It's okay, stop now, God, stop. You can stop pouring. Oh God, that blessing. He wants to weigh us down with his blessing. But I see that freely, the Bible says, freely we have received, freely we give. I reckon we are meant to wear the blessing of God like a backpack. I'm a backpack wearer. I tend to do a lot of traveling, and if women understand this, our handbags, if we just wear it on one shoulder, tend to do this. And then I get like really sore necks and shoulders. So I thought, that's enough. I'm not gonna do that to myself anymore. So I wear a backpack now. And I kind of feel like wearing the blessing of God is like me wearing my backpack. But my backpack, okay, and the blessing of God is not just for me. I see it as something that I've freely given, so I need to freely receive, so I need to freely give it. Hello, you've got a great beard.
Thank you.
So it's kind of like this. You get the blessing of God, and then our job, and I'm going to show you in the scriptures in just a moment, but it's kind of like we get the blessing of God so that then we can pass it on. If you don't mind, sir, would you stand up? Because I want to pass on the blessing of God to you. And it's my responsibility, not as a minister of the gospel, but as a child of God, to pass on that same blessing, not just to those that love Jesus like I do, but to anybody that would receive that blessing. And then it's your job, sir, to go and take that blessing and then to pass it on to someone else, because freely you have received, freely you give, and then you wear the blessing of God. And because, gosh, that blessing looks so good on you, you don't want to keep it for yourself, so you go take that blessing and you go give it to whoever you like, because wherever you go, you are a carrier of the blessing of God. Now that looks good on you, but I'm going to take it back because it's got my passport in it and my wallet, and I need to take that back to Australia this afternoon. And they won't let me out of the country without my backpack. Can you turn your Bibles to Numbers chapter 6? I want to show you what this looked like in the Old Testament. It says in Numbers 6, 22 to 27, then the Lord said to Moses, everyone say, the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons to bless the people of Israel with this special blessing. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Verse 27 says this, and whenever Aaron and his sons bless the people of Israel in my name, I myself will bless them. Wow. And when you bless people because I've told you to do it, not just me, but when we bless people because God has told us to do it, oh, I love this part. I get really excited about this part. It's as though God himself were blessing people. So how do we do this? What does it actually look like? Because if we all got a backpack and then started just taking off our backpack and sharing it with other people would think we've lost the plot. So it actually has to look like something. It can't just be like, oh yeah, okay, so I'm gonna give people the blessing of God. Oh, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. No, 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 it's gotta look like something. And I love it here in Numbers that God actually gives us the clue of what us blessing other people can look like. Who wants to be a blessing carrier? Okay, well, I'm in the right place. And I've got a feeling after today that there are many people here in Springfield, Missouri, or wherever you come from, are going to now receive the blessing of God, because you understand at a whole nother level that you're not just there to receive the blessing, but you're there to carry that blessing on as though God were blessing the people in your world himself. So how do we do it? Number one, we find it in Numbers chapter 6. In verse 24, it says, may the Lord bless you. So if we want to be a blessing carrier, number one, we need to bless people. We've already said it, when we bless, God blesses. And in Luke 6, 28, it says, bless those who curse you. Ha! And pray for those who hurt you. Well, who knows, it's easy to bless those that are nice to you. Oh, it's so easy. When someone is nice to you and they say encouraging things to you, oh, a natural response is to bless them. Even if we don't say it with our mouths, our heart is grateful. There's a sense of, oh, that's nice. But when someone hurts you, I don't know about you, but when someone hurts me, I've got a few other things that I want to say to them. I know not you, just people like me from Australia. But when people aren't nice to me, the last thing I feel like doing is turning around and bless you. You see, bless you is more than a cliche. You know, bless you can become like a Christian cliche, right? It's like, oh, bless you, bless you. But there's kind of no heart connection with the actual words that you're saying. That's why when I say bless you to people, I try and consciously think about what I'm actually doing. And the Bible says that there is life and death in the power of your words. So I want to talk about the death side of words. Because I think so often we tear our relationships down. We tear our family unit down. We tear our work relationships down with a sharp tongue. Or death words, what the Bible calls death words. It speaks death over situations. Whereas God, and to be a blessing carrier, that no matter what the situation is or feels like or looks like, we are meant to speak life words over people. We are meant to bless people, not curse people. And all those guilty of cursing, say amen. Just joking, don't do that. Don't, just keep your hands down. Because number two, if we want to bless people, it says here also in verse 24, may the Lord protect you. So God protects us. He is our protector. To protect means to watch over, to guard, or to cover. To watch over, to guard, or to cover. And I love Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is probably one of two of my favorite scriptures in the whole Bible. You know, a lot of the time we hear Psalm 23 as a psalm to die by. We read it at funerals, and honestly, beautiful. But I reckon Psalm 23 is more a psalm to live by. And I love verse 1 in Psalm 23 where it says, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. Or the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing because he watches over me, because he protects me. I guess my question to all of us is, who are we protecting? Who is it, if God protects us, because remember, freely we have received this protection of God, freely we give. I get protection, so I give protection. So who are we protecting? Well, the Bible gives us a clue who we should be protecting. It says in 1 Peter 5, 2 and 3, care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly, not for what you can get out of it, but because you are eager to serve God. Don't lord it over the people assigned to your care, but lead them by your own good example. We've got to protect the people. We have got to, here it says, care for the flock that God has entrusted. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly, not for what you can get out of it, but because you are eager to serve the Lord. So who is the flock that God has entrusted to you? Often we just think this is for pastors. Oh, this is for Pastor John and Pastor Debbie because we're their flock. No, it's not just for them. Yes, you are their flock. That is true. But the flock that Peter is talking about here is more than just a pastor and a church or a congregation. We've all got a flock. I've got a flock. Their names are Harmony and Eli. I've got a flock. His name is Joel. He's my husband. Husbands, are you taking care of your wives? Wives, are you taking care of your husbands? Parents, are you taking care of the flock of children that God has entrusted to you? Maybe you are an employee. Well, who are the people that you work alongside? Maybe God has entrusted that flock to you at this time. Maybe you're an employer and you've got a whole lot of employees. Maybe God has entrusted that flock to you. So what are we doing to protect the people around us? Well, I love what Psalm says. In Psalm 121, it says, "The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade." Kind of thought we can get a visual here of God being our protective shade. Sorry if you're superstitious. Get over it real quick. It's not in the Bible. "The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon at night. The Lord keeps you from harm and watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forever." God is our protective shade. And this is what I figure. If he's my protective shade, I better get close to him. And when I get close to the protective shade, he covers me from all harm. He covers me. Well, how about you? Do you have your own protective shade? Or do you walk around and when people get close to you, there's no sense of escaping harm? Or when people get close to you, do they feel like they are protected from things like gossip? Or when people come near you, it's kind of, no, you are the full stream of the gossip that's coming out of this place right now. There's no protective shade coming here. When people get close to you, do they feel like they escape harm? Because I can tell you, when we get close to God, no harm will befall us. So I figure if God's going to give it to us, then we've got to give that same protective shade to others. So if we want to know how to bless people, put up your protective shade. Would you like this umbrella because you've got such a great beard? And look at this. Look at the protective shade he's just about to take and put over that fine lady sitting next to him. Look at that. You can put it down now. So number three, as a blessing carrier, it says there that he turns our face towards us. So my question is, do we turn our face towards people? Job said it beautifully in Job 29. "When they were discouraged, I smiled at them. My look of approval was precious to them." Oh man, I don't know about you, but I want to know the full force of God's smile. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the full force of the smile of God looking upon you? Wow. That puts a smile on my face. And about 10 of you also have a smile on your face right now. So why don't we make the people who are closest to us work for our smile? We as mums look upon our kids with disgust at times. Why do our spouses kind of get that look of whatever? When the full force of God's smile is his preference towards you, why don't we take that blessing that we've received from him and give people the full force of our blessing? Let's tell our faces to smile. In fact, you should do that right now. Tell your face you can smile right now. Oh, now that's blessing. I figure if I can smile at you, you can smile at me. Amen? Number four, in this blessing that Moses said for Aaron and his sons to give the people, it then says to be gracious. If we want to be a blessing carrier, we need to be gracious as God is gracious to us. The end of Psalm 23 says, surely your goodness and mercy, or surely your goodness or kindness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of God forever. You know, it's so easy to hold resentment. It's so easy to hold unforgiveness. It's actually easier. It actually takes effort to forgive. It actually takes effort to be merciful. But I love that this is what God does with us. Even while we were still sinners, even while we were still sinners and undeserving of His mercy, it says He is going to pursue us with His mercy. Again, I get a visual, guys. I'm sorry, but I kind of see God chasing me down. It's like, you know, I'm up there and I'm kind of just doing my life, just carrying on as normal, and God's just chasing me down with His mercy. He's just kind of chasing me down. It's like, God, what are you doing? It's like, I can't help but pursue you with my mercy. I can't help but pursue you with my grace. If you wonder, does God want to be merciful towards me? Do you know what? Even though we are undeserved of His mercy and His grace, He wants to chase us down. He's following us, longing to just pour out His mercy on us. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance or His favor on you. Oh, God wants to fill you with His favor. Oh, the favor of God. And you don't have to earn it. Oh, well, if I'm good enough, I'll get His favor. Oh, I love it that Jesus quoted from Isaiah. Can we bring up the Luke scripture? We need to proclaim God's favor over people. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, you, us. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you, for He has anointed you, us, to bring the good news to the poor. There's enough bad news going around. I don't know if you've watched the news lately, but there's enough news, bad news going around for a world over. We don't need more bad news. Oh, have you seen the news? Yes, I've seen the news. It's terrible. The world needs Jesus. Yeah. So, bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim that the captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. The time of the Lord's favor has come. Not is coming, has come. Not just for the person sitting next to you, for them and for you, and for you, and for you, and you, and you, the time of God's favor. You think you've missed out? You haven't missed out. The time of the Lord's favor has come. And then the end of that blessing goes like this, and this is the last way that we can give that blessing to others. And may the peace of God that surpasses understanding, may it guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. We need to be a peacemaker. We need to be a peacemaker. Oh, I've got to get back up here. I'm going to do a commando roll. Are we okay with that? That's why I've got my camo pants on. It says, if we turn our Bibles, just lastly, if you would with me, to James 3, 17 to 18. It says, but the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times. Everyone say all times. And willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. We'll plant seeds of peace. We'll take that peace and plant it into someone else's life. I guess I see it a little bit like this. Not just a spare, God doesn't sparingly give us His peace. Well, I'll just give you like a little bit of peace. There you go. You can just have one little bit. Yeah. Because I kind of only just give it, you know, proportionately to how good you were. No. This is what God does. He said, I'm going to fill you with my peace. I'm actually going to fill you with my peace. And then when we start planting, not sparsely, but generously, seeds of peace, the Bible says that we will reap a harvest of righteousness. These are sunflower seeds, if you didn't realize. These are not actual seeds of peace. But if we were to plant sunflower seeds, it would kind of look like this. The end result would look like a harvest of righteousness. Can we bring up that picture? Do we have that picture? Please have that picture. And that's what God wants to do in the lives of the people. Keep that up there. That's what God wants to do in the lives of the people that you bless. It's what He wants this city of Springfield, this area of Springfield, Missouri, to look like. His harvest of righteousness. So could we stand to our feet, church? And if you wouldn't mind, I would love to pray a blessing over you. And rather it be a religious moment, I wonder if you could receive that blessing as an impartation today. And then with that impartation, that you would then go like my backpack and give that impartation to someone else. Not just this afternoon, but yes, this afternoon, and then Monday, and Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday, and then next week, and then next month, that we would be the carriers of the blessing of God in Jesus' name. So let me pray this blessing over you from Numbers 6. Would you just raise up your hands and receive if you feel comfortable? So may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you His favor and fill you with His peace. In the name of Jesus, amen. 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 Can we thank Jesus for His blessing today? Amen.